All right, well, let's go ahead and get started, guys. We got a special treat for you today. You know, you that come here customarily on Thursday morning see us ministering. It's usually the three-headed monster, Pastor Trey, Pastor Robert, and Pastor Minton. Praise the Lord. But today we've got a special treat for you, and it is just awesome how God works things out because we actually didn't plan it this way. But this coming Sunday, we've got something very cool that we're going to be doing, and we're going to be installing Arlene Robbins into our leadership team here at High Point Church as a deacon, and we are super excited about that. And look at this, she's getting to teach the service right before that's going to happen. So it's just only the Lord can do these things. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
And she has been a real blessing to this church. Her and her husband, Bob, have been coming here for about 4.5 years now. She taught our Sunday school class for over 3 years. And so she has certainly earned her stripes here, put in her dues. And we are excited about the gift that God's put on the inside of her and how she is going to minister that gift to us today. So without any further ado, as she's coming forward, let's give her a hand. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you. Whew. Thank you all. I tell you, it's really exciting to know the love of your family. And y'all, I can feel the love. I appreciate y'all coming here and supporting me today. I really do. As I always say, when you hear me teach, I will tell you I have a hard time starting and I have a hard time stopping. So getting started is always a jump start for me, and then the Holy Ghost just moves in. But I want to talk about self-destruction. That's the title, the topic of this teaching today. God has put in my heart a real strong passion for the ministry of reconciliation. Now, if you don't know what the ministry of reconciliation is, you need to get in the Word of God. And you need to discover what that ministry is. It is in 2 Corinthians 5. I'm just going to use one scripture. I'm not going to teach from that scripture, but that's my heart. And I'm going to put healing associated with the reconciliation, ministry of reconciliation. My personal belief is I believe the body of Christ is destroyed because we have never sat and reconciled ourselves back to God. As the Word of God, Paul says, God in Christ reconciled man to himself. And then he goes, I beseech you, be reconciled to God. We got reconciled in our spirit when we got born again. But that's just the start. That's the beginning of everything we need is set in the spirit. Now we need to reconcile the soul. That song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Our soul is our issue of where we lack the reconciliation back to God. If you understand, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So I want to talk about the soul today and a couple of scriptures I want to talk about. One of them is Psalms 103. And now I didn't give them that. So if you got your Bible, I'm one of these people that turn. I'm not real good on technology, so it's more stressful for me to try to do the scriptures on technology than to do this. 103 tells us to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me, bless his holy name. Pastor Minton talked about the name last week in healing school. Very important. We understand who we are in Christ in that name. That is the name above all names that he's given to us to have all authority on this earth. In the heavens, the earth, and underneath, that's all ours in that name. That you need to understand in the ministry of reconciliation. Reconcile yourself back into the name of Christ. What does that mean for you? How does that? I'm just going to kickstart y'all. We're not going there, but these are the ministry of reconciliation is huge. So he says in here, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Keynote, forget not all his benefits. He didn't say go chasing all his benefits. He said, forget not all his benefits. What he told you and me to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else you need, food, clothing, housing, whatever, I'll provide. See, we have absolutely nothing to do except for believe what Christ has done for us by his grace and enter into that and begin to believe it. And then we'll walk in divine nature, the divine health, divine prosperity. When I talk prosperity, I'm talking across the board prosperity, 100% like Jesus. So it's real exciting when you get into understanding the ministry of reconciliation and what that's about. It's a lifetime. It's a lifestyle. And I'm going to go over that for a minute and let you, we're going to go there. But see, he's saying, don't forget them. He says, I am the one who forgives all your iniquities and I heal all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. That's what we're going to talk about today. Destruction, self-destruction. I have a question for you. Are you living in self-destruction, or is self-destruction living in you? I want you to think about that. What does this mean to you when you hear the word self-destruction? Now, I'm a teacher, and I will ask you a lot of questions. I don't necessarily mean for you to answer them back, but this is how I learn from God. I ask a lot of questions to the Lord. Because I'm looking for what? When we come to a place to learn, what are we looking for? Truth and what? Understanding? I'm not hearing it. Understanding. When you learn something, you're looking for understanding, right? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 11, for all those that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, because I am lowly in heart and meek. And he says, if you will learn of me, you'll find rest for your soul. Now, if you have no rest in your soul, or if you've got a little bit of rest in your soul, or even in my own, now I'm talking to me too, when we have unrest, we're missing some understanding of Jesus. An object of knowledge. We need knowledge for what? The object of knowledge is understanding. God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. When you and me have no knowledge of God, we can't get understanding. His understanding. Because in 1 John, I'm going to read it to you. 1 John, I want to go there. I'm just going to skip around as the Spirit leads me. 1 John 1, 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God has come, has given us an understanding. What? That we may know him that is true. That we may know him that is true, that and we are in him that is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is what this ministry of reconciliation is about. It's about getting to know God. Because I'll tell you, when you get to know God and you begin to see him, you'll see yourself. You don't have to go looking. Because I'm going to tell you, this ministry of reconciliation has nothing to do with you and me. What this ministry of reconciliation is all about is called an absolute surrender. If you were here for my teachings on the 6 weeks I talked about this. If you think you already know this, then you need to sit here and listen again, just like Pastor Trey said. If you come to the Word of God and you go, I already know that, let me tell you something, it's for you. I'm a voice of experience because I had so much pride. I could always say, well, I already know that. Tell me something I don't know. You're in pride. Oh, I didn't know that. See, so when you say, I don't need to know that, you're the one that really needs to know it. Reconciliation is just, it's the word means exchange. Exchange values, adjust the difference, and restore to favor. That's what God did for man when he restored us back to favor. He restored us back into rest, into peace. He restored us into the peace. The war is over, as Bruce was teaching for the last 20-something weeks here. The war is over. Okay? And we need to understand that. So the ministry of reconciliation is about an absolute surrender. It's an absolute surrender, an absolute dependency, and an absolute knowledge of the power of God. When Pastor Trey was teaching the other day on his scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:5, the Lord showed me something tied into the ministry of reconciliation in that. You know, you come here, you listen to, what is it, 2 Corinthians, which one is it? 2 Corinthians, sorry. When we come into the body of Christ, or when you come to the Word at home, you need to come expecting to get something from the Lord. Come with great expectation every time you come. And you may not really be hearing what the person up here standing here is talking, because God knows your heart. And I may throw one word out into your heart that God's going to work on you. Please stop and listen to Him. Don't try to listen to the speaker. Hear the Word of God working in your heart, because He's going to jump you right back into whomever's speaking so you can hear some more, because He's got more for you. Know that He's looking at you individually and says, "Ooh, that's my daughter, that's my son. I got to show you something about me." That's what He's come to do, okay? So in this verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is an absolute surrender. We absolutely must surrender to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. An absolute dependency, that's the love of God. It's the love of God that sustains us. It's the love of God that causes us to do things. It's the love of God. We've got to be absolutely dependent on the love of God. And it's the communion of the Holy Ghost. And all of these to be with you. The communion of the Holy Ghost. The Lord showed me something that same day, and it's not taken away from anything that He's teaching. It's just added a little bit more. He says to me, "Elijah, would you stand up for just a second? And Betty Jean, would you stand up?" Communion, common union. Come over here. You're man. You're God. I'm the Holy Ghost. I am the common union. I bring God to man, says the Holy Ghost. I'm the power that brings heaven to earth. I'm the common union. That's all He's saying. I'm the common union. My power, not yours. My power, absolutely God's power. Jesus came up out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. You and me have absolutely no power to do anything for God. He told His disciples, they asked the question, when the rich man, I may have my parable wrong or the story wrong. I think it was a rich man says, "You know, what do I do to get eternal life?" And he said, "Do this, sell everything you got, come to me." And he goes, "Oh, I can't do it." He walked away. And Jesus says, it is harder for a rich man to go through the camel's eye or to get into heaven than to go through a camel's eye. And the disciples goes, "Well, then who can be saved?" And then He says, with man, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. He did not say, with man, it is impossible. But if man goes and gets God, now it's possible. For you in your own power. He did not say that. He said, with man, it is possible. Impossible. You and me are man. When we get born again, we get Jesus. And we get the Holy Ghost. And we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. We need to. If you're not, you need to. Because that's where you're going to get your power. It's about absolute surrender. I can do nothing of myself, Jesus says. And He meant that. He didn't walk on this earth in His own power. He knew the love of God. 100% dependent on the love of God. He did not walk in His own ability. So, let's go to Psalms 107. I'm getting back on track. I kind of got sidetracked a little bit. Not too far. Psalms 107. We're talking about healing. Healing associated with ministry of reconciliation. Psalms 107. 20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What destructions? You need to ask yourself, what destruction did you deliver me from?
Sin.
What's the destructions of sin? Dig deep when you get in the Word of God. He's got nuggets for you and me, but He wants you to find Him. And He'll show you. What is the works of the devil? That y'all can talk up real loud because I can't hear you. That's what he does. He comes to steal the word. Why? Why does Satan want to steal the word from you and me? What are we looking for in the word? What does the word bring us? What did 1 John 5:20 just say the word gives me? Understanding. Mark 4 tell you that parable is about understanding. If you don't understand, you are not going to be able to receive because you need understanding God's ways. Okay? So if he's stealing your understanding, he's coming to kill what?
The relationship with God.
That he's going to do that too. There's three things: faith, hope, and love. He's going to kill your hope. He wants to, if he can take your understanding, he can kill your hope, because who's the hope of glory? Where is he? In you. The hope of glory. So if he can steal your understanding of God's hope of glory as Christ in you, then he can steal your hope. And what is faith?
Things hoped for but not seen.
It is. It's the substance of things hoped for. So if you have no hope, you have no substance, you have no faith. He's after your faith, because how do we live if you're righteous? By faith. He's very subtle in stealing your faith. He don't care if you get all the written word you want, but you better not get revelation. He is after that understanding, revelation life for you and me to walk in it. That's what the enemy's coming for. But his works are what? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Now we're going to get into the soul realm here in a minute. Because as Pastor Trey always puts on his signature is the 3 John 2. I'm going to read it while y'all go to 1 John. 1 John 2. He goes, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So if he's saying, even as your soul prospers, there must be a huge connection to our health there, right? Because we got the spirit complete and whole, right? When we got born again, it's complete and whole. But I'm going to show you a little bit about this. I want to get you a picture. I like to take snapshots of things when God shows me. I like to put it out in actual teaching so I can show it to you, because that's how I learn, by visuals. But in 1 John 2:16, here's the works of the devil that Christ came to destroy in 1 John 3. Here's the works. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are the works of destruction in this present world." What is the lust of the eyes? What is the pride of... Okay, what is the lust of the flesh? What is the pride of life? See, we have not reconciled ourselves. This is no condemnation, y'all. I'm going to tell you, I've learned this myself just over the few years that I've been sitting under the word of his grace and unconditional love of knowing Jesus. You got to see Jesus. So there's no condemnation. There's hope for everybody here. If you don't know what this is, you need to get in there and find it, because you've got to be able to see it when it's coming your way so you can slide back into where you need to be instead of. And we're going to look at this. There's some places we're going to show some of this stuff that's going on in the heart. This is a heart thing, y'all. We're talking heart, personal. Not for Brenda, for Johnny, and not for Johnny, for Brenda. It's for Brenda, for Johnny, for Betty Jean. It's your own heart. We're talking your own relationship with God. So if the devil's works are the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, whenever we fall into sin, we're in probably one of those destructions in our own soul.
Amen.
You don't need anybody to tell you. You can judge yourself. The Word of God says, examine yourself, see if you're in the faith.
Amen.
You can do it yourself. You know, Jesus Christ is the touchstone. If you understand what a touchstone is, that is in the jewelry business. It's some, I've never done it, but it's a certain stone that they put a certain solution on, and if it's real gold and they strike it, it turns a certain color, I guess. I'm not sure exactly on that. That's called the touchstone. Jesus Christ in me is my touchstone. If I'm over here doing something, I can, woo, check it. Let me strike Jesus. Woo, unrighteous. Woo, that's not of him, he says. Judge yourself. Get back in the faith. I don't need you to tell me I'm in the wrong, and you don't need me to tell you when you're in the wrong. You already know that because the Holy Ghost is telling you who you are correctly, not who you are in the wrong. So when you're hearing his voice, again, it is extremely important to be led by the Holy Spirit. His power, not yours and mine. His power in us. Okay, so let me go. I'm going to put up some things. Now, when I put these up, let's keep in mind self-destruction. Are you living in self-destruction, meaning your own self, your own understanding, your own ways, or is the self-destruction living in you? Christ in you will destroy self because it has no dominion when you live by the Spirit. So we're talking being in the carnal, I can't say that word, carnal minded or spiritual. Because if we're carnally minded, it's death. If you're frustrated and angry and aggravated, you're in death. You don't need anybody to toot your horn and tell you. You should be able to strike Jesus and he'll tell you, that ain't me. He's real good at that. He loves us, but he does it so kindly and gently for us. Okay, let's go here. Pride. This one, we either live here or we live in humility. You either live totally surrendered to God, totally dependent on God, absolutely under his power when you're humble. Or you live in pride. There's no in between. You might straddle that fence, but you'll find a great battle in your heart. And when you're in that, you might get out of the pride and come back over to the humility side, who you really are. Okay? When we're in the carnal, we're under the law of sin and death. That's real obvious. When you sit with the Lord, you need to get real with yourself. He already knows who you are. He knows everything about us. He wants you to see yourself. He came to save us from ourselves. That's what sin did. The disposition of sin is my right to my claim to myself. That's the disposition. That's the nature of sin. I have the right to myself, my own understanding, my own way. I want it my way. That's what sin is. I'm my own God. That's what sin is. Falling short of the glory of God. I'm my own God. I'll get my own glory. I don't need you. Wrong. Okay? Spiritual. Sorry for my back, but it happens. Under the law of the spirit of the law of the spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In Christ. Is that your law that you live by, the government you live under? As an ambassador of the world, this is what we should be. And that's why the church looks so bad, because we never reconciled ourselves to what this looks like. We're out there trying to be an ambassador with no knowledge of God, lots of zeal, no wisdom, and the world says, I don't want him. Because we're not really giving the right witness of him. Because I'm not living him. This one has set me free from this law. Flesh. We're living by the flesh. We get in unforgiveness. I'm going to tell you, I believe this right here is probably one of the greatest enemies against sickness in your body is unforgiveness. It hides itself. And it's mainly directed at you. Mm-hmm. You may have had something occur in your life. You may have had a vow you took. And I'm saying this because I know from my own experience that this is a truth. I vowed something to myself over 20 years ago, and I failed. And I condemned myself. I never forgave myself. But see, it gets hidden under you in your heart. It gets hidden deep. But God will reveal it, but will we hear him? That's all he's asking. The way we live with the Lord is, hear me, hear, with the intent to obey. And you don't have to try to do anything, but just believe it. That's hard though. That's real hard for us to believe. All he says is, hear me and obey. That would be one of the greatest challenges of a discipline of your life, is learning to hear God with the purpose of obeying. Oh, we hear him. Because he says, my sheep hear my voice. You cannot come and tell me, well, I didn't hear God. Yes, you did. Somewhere in there, you chose to block him out. Or he's a liar. If he says, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say they always listen to me, but they do hear me. Okay? But unforgiveness into your own heart. You have to release yourself of a vow you took. Now, this takes time. This ministry of reconciliation is the most valuable ministry you'll ever have. It's the only ministry God's really concerned about with you and me. Because out of the ministry of reconciliation, he brings forth everything else, you and me, he's already got planned in us. He's looking for us to love him and know his love first so we can return that love. And out of that, he gives every direction, and all you got to do is walk it. Okay? So, unforgiveness, or do you walk in forgiveness? Now look, in the spirit, this is all taken care of. We're talking in our soul realm. Do you have a debt on somebody? Has they done something to you and they owe you? Not money. But they owe you to recognize that they shouldn't have said that to me, because look, who do they think I am? Huh? There's that pride. Who do they think I am? Jesus says, I wasn't offended by anybody because I knew who I am in the great I am. And I am under the dependency of his love 100%. And when you walk in love, nothing can penetrate love. Absolute nothing penetrates love. The devil has to pull us out of that place to do anything with us. Don't you read Psalms 91 all the time? People tell me, well, I read it all the time. Well, do you believe it when you read it? You got to believe what God says is true. You got to put a value on his word. That's our problem. We don't value his word. We want to do our own thing and have our own self-righteousness. This is having it my way. Doing what I think is right. That's that knowledge of good and evil. Yours and my good is our evil. The minute you and me think we know good for ourselves, that's our evil. We're biting off that same tree. Woo, righteousness. His righteousness. The way you counter self-righteousness, self-destruction, is to see Jesus in you. Your soul needs to come and look. This is our soul. I'm just going to say this is our soul. I'm trying to throw things together here because I'm going to go here. Fear. Let's just go here. Fear and love. Oh, you can fill this whole board up, both sides. You can fill it up. You can sit there and look in the Word of God for all the self stuff, the flesh stuff, who you are in self. Self-will. Here's our big problem. God's will. Christ said, it's my pleasure to do the will of the Father. That should be yours and my pleasure. We should never, ever be unhappy doing the will of God. Ever. It should be a delight for us. When we get the understanding of who we are, who he is, when we get there and we really begin to walk it, we can do anything he says to do. Your obedience to God is more important than you hurting. When I say this, somebody may not like what you're about to say and do. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit now, not just because I want to fly off the handle and tell Elijah what I think about him. But Elijah asked me to do something, and the Holy Ghost says, no, you must do this. It's the righteous way to do it. And I come against him. Do you know he's going to suffer because of my obedience? Now, I can choose to be kind and just keep it all smooth with him and not do it and say it. Okay, Lord, I don't want him to suffer. Now, I have just become disobedient to the voice of God. My disobedience to God, no. He says, well, I forget that scripture, Job. Job was saying, don't choose iniquity, but choose the affliction that you're going to get. If I have to tell him that something he's doing or he's asking me to do is an iniquity, I need to tell him that and be afflicted because he's going to persecute me. Because God says he delivers the righteous from all afflictions. You got to know which is the right decision. Judge righteously. That's called righteous judgment. And if you don't sit with the Lord and reconcile yourself back to him, you won't know this. So there's a lot of this. I'm going to stop right there, but I'm going to show you something real quick. I need three people. Real quick. Three people. Johnny, Elijah, and Larry. Excellent. Larry, will you stand on the top step there and put this on around your neck? Elijah, will you stand on the middle one and put this around your neck? And then Johnny, you put this and stay down here. Okay. I'm going to show you spirit, soul, and body. Hold this. This is an old man picture. I'm going to show you about our soul and what I'm talking about. This is the spirit. The spirit is the dominant unit of this body. But when it was dead to God, it had no association with God. It could not interact with the soul. It had no, we were dead, right? Dead. No God understanding. We didn't have any understanding of God. The soul in the mind, will, and emotions was busy doing its thing, listening to this body. This body's got five senses. It's reasoning out things, this and that. And the soul is over here. Okay, I agree with you. Now, he's under the reign of who? Whose power? And what is it? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Okay, he gets born again. Whew. Now we got him with a new man, right? Now this is the spirit. This is who you are. You really want to know something, you don't even, to hear from God, it does not require the soul. It does not require the intellectual side of man to hear from God. He only associates with the spirit. You're born again. You get the spirit of Christ born into you. The Holy Ghost comes on you. You get baptized. It's like I'm getting installed on Sunday. I thought it was cute because the Holy Ghost gets installed. Boom. And then he gets unzipped. Boom. In the baptism. You know, a zip file. Boom. And now the power is on. And this is what we need in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get the power turned on. So now what happens? Perfect, reconciled. But guess what? Elijah, step over here. this little soul, the minute we get born again, he's still an enemy to God. You got to think about this. When you're first born again, you are an enemy to God in your thinking. You're an enemy to God, to your mind, your will, and your emotions. So you got a war going on. That's why when you get born again, this really gets disturbed in your heart. Your heart is like, what is going on? It's fighting against the flesh, against the spirit. The spirit's talking, but the soul isn't like, I'm not registering. That's why it's important we get in the Word of God to renew our mind. We come and hear the pastor speak, someone teach, we fellowship. But most of all, we sit with the Lord in our heart 24/7. He gets a word of knowledge. He goes in here. This little devil is like, okay, I want my own way. Self-destruction? Or is he now beginning to get his mind renewed and getting the word of God in here? So he begins to agree here. If you're not prospering in your soul for your health, let me tell you, we need to quit chasing healing. We need to begin to chase the person. Jesus Christ is the healing. When you see him, you will get healed. I believe that with all my heart. Do I walk there? No. But I'm getting closer and closer to that understanding and actually entering in there the more and more I get to know the Lord. Because he says in Exodus, y'all stand still one more, in Exodus 15, we have a divine covenant of health with the Lord God. And it has not changed from the day of Egypt coming out of there until now. It's just gotten better because it's inside of us. He says in Exodus 15:26, the Lord speaking, and if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon Egypt, for I am the Lord that heals you. And what he's saying, he does not put sickness on us. He's saying, I won't let anything get on you because you're mine. You're in my name. You're my property. I bought you. You're my son. You're my daughter. It is my responsibility to keep you clean. But you must hear, give me your will. Right here is the hardest thing we have to do right here. This is the only way you and I can walk with God, is giving our will to him. We're renewing the mind, which causes the will to be renewed, because the will is what's going to look at what the mind makes a judgment about. The will will say, let me see what kind of value I put on that. Or I put a value on this over here. If the flesh is saying this and the spirit's saying this, the will's going to say, which one has more value to me? And you're going to do which one has the most value to you. So when you don't know God, you're not going to value his word. I'm telling you that right now. And you check that by your own life. What is the integrity of your word? You'll know how much you trust God by what you speak out of your own mouth, not religious or godly things. I'm just saying, hey, let's go to lunch. I'll meet you there at 11. And then you show up at 11:10. And you do this on a constant. Now, there's no condemnation here. You can change that. Show up at 10 till 11 or 11. The integrity of your word is huge. You and I think words are nothing. They do not fall to the ground. We know that. They are very powerful. So when you won't give value to your own words, you're not going to give value to God's word. I'm telling you that right now. That's how it works. So we got to start getting value to God's word, which means that eventually this is going to go away. These two are going to agree. Come over here. And they're going to walk together as a pure heart. And then this body will follow whatever this is doing in health. We need to understand we have divine health policy. Find divine health. His name is Jesus. Walk in divine health. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be poor. We don't have to be anything that's a lack when we do it God's way and walk in His judgments and do it His way. Because this body right here, we look at the body and say, it's just a body. If without this right here, you and I cannot walk on the earth with the authority of God. It takes this body right here for you and me to walk on this earth to have authority over the demonic realm. Because a man has authority over this earth that's born again with this new man. And I'm going to close on this with an example. Y'all, we have got to start becoming spiritual beings. We have got to be fixed on things from above and not on this earth. We have got to start taking authority over the spiritual realm. We have all authority if you believe God will do it as He said He will. I was at Kroger, Walmart yesterday, day before yesterday. And I was at the checkout, one of those self-checkout things. And there was a gentleman that was pretty angry about something. His money wouldn't come out. I don't know if he was under the influence of drugs or whatever, but he was irate. And he was raging at the sales clerk. And I was standing there, and another man and his mom and some of the registers, we're all just kind of looking because he was getting very volatile. And I'm like, the man says, hey, there's a register over there. You can go over there and check out and get out of here. And the Holy Ghost said to me, don't you have authority? See, I'm asking the Lord, train me in the way that I should go. Train me up to walk by spirit. I can't control that man, but I can certainly control the spirit that was acting upon him. And the Lord said, no fear, no fear, no fear. See, when you know the love of God and you walk in love, you walk in perfect love, you never leave the love of God, that is your protection. It is an offensive weapon and it is a defensive weapon. It keeps you and maintains you and you're safe. I don't care where you're at, what environment, what's going on. If you trust God in it, He'll make sure you come out. So I stood there and I started speaking to that. I said, I'm not getting out of here. And that man started ramping and raving and went over to Subway and sat down. So I said, led by the Holy Ghost, y'all, not on your own. Holy Ghost training me. I went and sat two tables away from him, and I sat down and just looked. I didn't look at him because I didn't want to tick him off. But I started praying in tongue, and I started speaking to that enemy, and I started telling that devil to shut up. Now, he won't respond immediately. You got to keep pressing in. Because he wants to know, do you know that you have the authority? He's going to test you. He's not going to stop immediately. I kept talking. I kept talking. And he finally settled down. I commanded him to leave that store. He walked out of the store, went into the foyer. I walked out, and I stood as though from here to there, as though I was waiting for a ride, just speaking to that devil. I wasn't looking at the man because I didn't want to get him mad or upset. Just speaking. Did you know he did calm down? He shut up. Now, he did go back in the store, but he wasn't. I'm like, woohoo, we do have it, man. We have the power of God working in us and on us and with us. But it wasn't me. See, y'all, it's a fun life when you get out there. You don't have to go out there and preach the word of God. Get up there and talk to the demonic realm. That's why we're in such bad shape today, because we're not taking our position as sons of God. Jesus did not tolerate unclean spirits. I'm telling you, the glory of God is about to present itself in a way that he wants to show His glory in you to others. But you got to sit with Him. Y'all can sit down. I'm sorry. Aren't they beautiful? But look, thank you. Healing is for us today, y'all. And I'd say, and I don't mean that. Please hear me when I say quit chasing the healing. Because now you're focused on, you think you don't have it. When you're chasing something, you act as though you don't have it. You already have it. You got to rethink how you look at things. And if you don't know, ask the Holy Ghost to tell you. I'm so thankful Pastor Trey is teaching on the Holy Ghost because He is everything to you and me. Without Him, we're nothing. But with him, we can raise the roof on this place. Thank you.
Praise God. Well, I want to reiterate something that Arlene had said. You know, don't chase the healing. Chase the healer. When you get to the healer, you know, the Lord revealed himself with many names. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our victory. Rapha, the Lord our healer, and so forth. But one of them is, he's Jehovah Shammah. You know what that means? The Lord is there. He's there. He's our ever-present help in a time of need. So whatever your need is, if you just come to him, he's the need meter. Doesn't matter if it's financial, physical, emotional, he's there to supply what was lacking. Jehovah Shammah. But I wanted to, the Lord put on my heart something to share with you. Spirit, soul, and body is so important for us to understand. Because if you don't understand that you are a spirit, that's really who you are. And this physical body that's sick and broken and weak is not the real you. So you should never say, I am sick. I am hurting. Because that's not the real you. The real you is the spirit. Even Peter, in referring to his body, said, if this tent is put off. He referred to his body like a tent. I like to call our body, it's like an earth suit. Just the only way you can exist on the moon is to have a space suit, right? You can't exist like we're existing down here. The only way to exist on the earth is to have an earth suit. You got to have a body. That's why demons are all the time trying to possess people's bodies, because they can't do anything without a body, right? But the body is not the real you. But the way to get your body or your flesh to subject itself is by the spirit, the real you, getting the soul to team up with it. If it's two on one, whatever the two are, will win. And do you remember a story in Luke chapter 12? Do you remember when there was a man that rose up from the crowd while Jesus was teaching and he said, Lord, get my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And the Lord warned him, said, beware of covetousness, and then told him a parable. And he told him this parable is very interesting. He said, there was a man whose ground yielded plentiful, meaning he was having a lot of harvest. He was having a lot of increase. So he said within himself, you know what? I need to build a bigger barn to put all this in. And the Bible specifically says this. It said, and he said to his soul. Notice that. He said to his soul, soul, you've done well for yourself. Let's build greater barns and build up and store up for ourselves. Now let me ask you the question. Because it was covetousness and because it was storing up just for him to have more, what part of him was the part that was talking to him, soul, saying, let's build barns? It was not his spirit. It was his flesh, right? And so because the flesh got the spirit to come alongside of it and do something, spirit couldn't do nothing about it. But if the real you, your spirit, can rise up and say, soul, we're going to bless the Lord right now. Didn't we just sing it? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Many people miss that, but what David was saying, he was talking to his soul. The real him, the spiritual man, was talking to his soul saying, soul, it's time to praise God right now. In fact, everything that's within me, it's time to praise God right now. And when you get your soul in conjunction with your spirit that is always wanting to praise God, your spirit that's always wanting to love God, your spirit that's full of the life and the presence of God, when you get your soul to team up with it, your flesh don't stand a chance. Because it's two on one. Amen. But are you always going to feel like doing that? Do you remember when Jesus was in the garden? And his disciples kept falling asleep. He told them to pray for an hour. And he came over to Peter and said, could you not pray for 1 hour? He said, notice this phrase. I think it's Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray. Why? For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And do you think that might have had something to do with what might have prevented Peter from ever denying the Lord? The Lord was warning him that if you, through prayer, staying connected with God, having communion with Him, if you stay connected like that, you'll start to live more out of your spirit that's wanting to do the right thing and not in the flesh that's doomed to do the wrong thing. Amen. So, it's in situations like that, what do you got to do? You got to do it when you don't feel like doing it. Because the truth is, the reason why we don't feel like doing it most of the time, you know why? It's because our soul and flesh are in cahoots most of the time. So it's two on one, so it makes it seem like our spirit is at a lost cause. But if you can get your spirit to rise up, like in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said this, this is powerful. He said, I've seen a great travesty. I have seen servants riding on horses and princes walking behind the horses. And you know what he was meaning there? Princes are the ones that are destined to ride the horses and the servants walk on foot, right? But he was seeing something in the spirit that what's going on with us was spirit, soul, and body. The prince, the king, the royalty, which is your spirit because you're a royal priesthood in him. Amen. You're a king. Is not running the show. The soul is running the show. And because the soul is, we're doomed to just feeling negative all the time. So you got to rise up, make yourself rise up in the power of the Spirit and say, the Spirit man's in control right now. I know what the Spirit says because I see it in the mirror. This is what I look like. The mirror says, this is who I am. So now I'm going to rise up and with willpower, I'm going to say, I will live out of the Spirit right now. So soul, let's praise God right now. Soul, let's confess the word right now. Soul, get in line right now. And you make your emotional self and your mind get in line. Make your mind get in line. And it's going to happen because you make yourself do it. And it's not going to be easy to do it, but when you do it, then the body just falls in line. Glory be to Jesus forever. Hallelujah. Your body just gets in line like that horse. It just has to get in line. Hallelujah. Live out of your spirit, man. Make yourself do it and don't live just because my soul doesn't want to do it. Amen? You can do it like the movie said. You can do it. Hallelujah. But you got to choose to do it. And once you choose to do it, it gets easier. It gets easy. Praise God. How many of you have ever done that before that you didn't feel like it, but you did? You started confessing the word, you started praising God. And how many of you can also attest that once you started doing that by faith, the feelings followed? How many in here? It happens, but it's not the easiest thing to do because if it were, everybody'd be doing it. This is the key to walking spiritual. You got a priest in you. You got a king in you. You got royalty on the inside of you. Righteousness, holiness on the inside of you. Let it call the shots over the flesh by getting the soul along line with it. Amen? Well, let's stand on our feet then.